Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. Be sure to hit that subscribe button because YouTube, always unsubbing people. We're also available wherever fine podcasts are in audio format, including the iOS podcast app, where if you hit that subscribe or download button, it helps boost us in the rankings there in the sports and rec category, and it gets more exposure to the show. It's a great way to support Going In Raw. Yes. Where else are we, Larson?
Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. We have various contribution tiers, each with rewards.
Yeah, that's right. Like postcards.
Like t-shirts.
Yes. Live stream access.
Care packages.
Bonus episode.
We're also at Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/goingandraw, where you can get this fantastic, gorgeous, beautiful, fun wrestling t-shirt.
I'm not going to give you any static for that, dude. This is a great design. I did not think you had it in you.
I did.
To create such a, I know, such a great design. I wish your programming for fun wrestling was up to the par of this particular design logo, however.
Oh, it is.
As you can see in the ratings,
well,
oh boy.
As of recording this episode, Tuesday's episode of Fun Wrestling had not been released yet.
Mm-hmm.
Just wait. Ratings bonanza.
Just lie in the title and the thumb. Lie.
Like you did?
Look, man, boobs. Man boobs, female boobs, just boobs.
Is it really the end of W Steve W?
Yes, it is. Did you not watch the episode? You were there.
I was there.
You tell me.
It's at most is the end. It's the end of it by name alone.
Let's talk about SmackDown.
Okay.
I was thoroughly entertained by this episode from front to back. I thought it was fantastic. What did you think?
It had some high moments and then it was kind of uneven, I thought.
Really?
Yeah.
There were some low moments. Yeah, okay, there were some low moments. You're right. They didn't maximize their potential this week.
No.
There was no Shinsuke Nakamura beyond a video package.
Yeah.
Ty Dillinger, for some reason, is being misused already.
At least he got the opportunity to introduce his own video package.
Which, dude, I'm sorry, that might be worse than just not being there. Might be worse.
We'll
talk about that when we get there, though. Let's kick off with where the show kicked off, and that was a Charlotte promo.
Yes.
She comes down. They're treating her like $1 million. I think this is a high spot. This is a good thing for SmackDown.
Yes, absolutely.
They're treating her like $1 million. She comes down. She says, 7 days ago, I was brought over here to SmackDown Live. The Queen is here. The Queen has arrived on SmackDown Live.
Yeah.
And it's been 7 days. And then she gets all serious and angry and heelish.
What are you waiting for? 7 days is too long of a wait for me to get my title shot.
I agree. She's the Queen. Where is her title shot? She should have had that automatically.
Yeah. So Naomi comes out and says, all right, you want a title shot?
Mm-hmm.
You got it right now.
Drops the mic and drops her fists on Charlotte's face.
Yeah.
Shows Charlotte the door, which is the ropes.
Yes.
Out the ring. Shane McMahon's music hit. He starts dancing. Oh, yeah. First, a ref comes out. He tries to restrain Charlotte. She kicks him away.
Yes.
Gets back in the ring. Tries to get back in the ring. Naomi just basically hits her.
Yes.
But Shane O'Mac makes the match for later on tonight, or the night. If Charlotte
that episode
wins,
of SmackDown, yes.
She gets the title shot. So match later on, Naomi versus Charlotte.
Yes.
Contenders match.
Number one contender match. If Charlotte wins, she's number one contender. If Naomi wins,
I guess somebody else is.
Yeah, someone gets the opportunity.
Yeah.
So after Shane makes the match, they just fight more.
Yeah, I usually have a problem with these kind of matches.
Yeah.
You're fighting the champion.
I know.
Why wouldn't you fight somebody else who has a legit claim to being number one contender?
I know. I don't like that either.
Either you're number one contender to the title or not.
I know.
I'm glad you agree with me, because I guess the case could be made the other way. Like, prove that you're good enough to beat the champ.
But if By
you're
beating to, the champ, I know. But if you're good enough to beat the champ, just get a title shot.
Shouldn't be that the title?
I know.
I mean, it's Charlotte.
But the...
I can see if this was Carmella. Like, she doesn't really have a claim.
But here's the alternative. On SmackDown, knowing how they book matches, mm-hmm. we would get a woman's six-pack challenge. To determine a new number one contender. Like,
that's true. That, no, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. They love their six-pack challenges.
They really do.
Even like sometimes six-pack challenge makes sense, I guess. Tonight, the one went down that made no sense. Zero sense whatsoever.
But it was still a fun match.
Oh, and I loved it. I loved it. I don't care what all you guys say out there. I loved it.
So after they fight some more, Charlotte and Naomi, they finally kind of cease with the fighting.
Yeah.
Backstage... Natalya is in Shane's office. Shane walks in.
Mm-hmm.
And Natalya kind of complains to Shane, saying that she deserves a title shot.
Mm-hmm.
And Shane says, well, you had your title shot at WrestleMania. You didn't take advantage of it. This is a land of opportunity.
Said it slipped through your fingers.
Yeah. And Natty said, no, I want a one-on-one title shot. And then mm-hmm. Shane said, all you had to do was ask. Anyways, Carmelsworth.
Yeah, Carmelsworth.
Carmella and James Ellsworth
yeah.
enter the frame. They go. They talk back and forth.
He seems like he's in such a good mood these days because JBL can't bully him. He comes out and JBL is just happy. Oh, by the way, shout out to our friendo. I'm going to name them right now. We had a friendo in attendance and we wanted to know what was the reaction. Because, you know, we've been talking about JBL a lot.
Yes.
And we were curious what was the reaction to JBL. And I'm going to find. Look, it's old Steve.
You chose poorly.
You guys can't. That was the reaction of JBL was old Steve.
Whenever I see it, I think of that scene from Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
That's right. Let's see here. I want to give him a good shout out here because I ask people questions and they respond. And we were curious what the reaction of JBL was, and he basically just said...
Mixed. It was a mixed
reaction.
Yeah,
mixed. Some people cheered him. Some people booed him. There was one batch of people, Shane Strickland. I don't think that's the same Shane Strickland, the phenomenal wrestler.
Either.
But good friendo here. Look at his picture. Oh, look at that. A little cute kid with the NXT title on. That's great. I don't think Shane Strickland is a little kid. That's probably his son. But anyways, he was there. Shout out. Thank you, Shane Strickland, for letting us know the status on the JBL chant.
Yes.
They're dying down already. People don't give a shit already. So he's not losing his job anytime soon. Oh, man. Anyways.
Tamina enters Shane's office.
Mm-hmm.
And she's wondering, you know, what does she have to do to get a title shot? And then Ellsworth.
Be around. You have him in there, man.
Well, then Ellsworth pipes in and says, back of the line, Tamina.
Wow, James Ellsworth.
So they all talk. And then Natalya says, hold on. It's obvious that management has an agenda with Charlotte. And essentially, she says, we have to take matters into our own hands.
Mm-hmm.
And so Natalya, Carmella, and Tamina leave Shane's office. And we see them a couple times throughout the night, commiserating.
Yeah.
Essentially. So maybe we saw the birth of a new faction.
Yeah,
here on SmackDown tonight. What
faction,
are you doing?
Huh? I'm looking at the Twitter. I'm going to give some shout outs to some people.
Okay.
I'm trying something new, man. I'm paying attention.
You're
running it down. I have nothing more to add. Yeah, new faction.
Well, get off your phone because it's time to recap the six-pack challenge here. So it was Sami Zayn, Dolph, Luke Harper, Eric Rowan, Mojo.
What did you say? What did you say
and,
when this thing kicked off?
Jinder Mahal.
Hey, what did you say?
that a fifth was, this is underwhelming even for a U.S. title number one contender
even
match.
Even if this, like, okay, think about it. Hold on a second. Let's rewind, okay? So last week.
We had a triple threat match, Sami Zayn versus AJ Styles versus Baron Corbin to be the number one contender for the U.S. title.
For the U.S. title. Kevin Owens is a former Universal Champion.
Yes, AJ Styles is a former WWE Champion.
Exactly.
Both Sami Zayn and Baron Corbin are future WWE champions.
Exactly. We also, so there's four people right there, all who can claim a stake on the WWE title. Because
yes.
Kevin Owens is one of them. He's U.S.
Yes.
champion.
Yes.
In addition, on SmackDown, you have Shinsuke Nakamura, who is massive.
Yes.
Huge. Probably going to be a future WWE champion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then I'm sure we can name one more guy. I mean, fuck, you can throw Dolph in there. You can throw, I know there's somebody else that I'm missing that's good.
Yeah.
That you can throw in there.
Yeah.
There are plenty of main event level talents that could be lining up for the WWE Championship to be number one contender. Instead, they got out guys who, like you said, aren't even worthy of a U.S. title shot. Besides Sami Zayn.
I'll put Luke Harper in there too, because
I'll put Luke Harper in the U.S. title in the WWE title picture.
That's because
for sure.
I'll put him in there because there's story between him and Randy.
I think he was the one I was trying to think of. Yeah, absolutely. So John Cena's still technically on SmackDown. They could have brought him in.
So the six competitors in this match, two are legitimate contenders to the WWE title: Sami and Luke Harper.
Yes.
I know Dolph is a former two-time champion. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was.
That being said, I really like the outcome of this match.
There are a couple things going on here. Number one, SmackDown has the market cornered on fun six-pack challenges.
Yes.
Okay? The six-pack challenges firmly, I look forward to, and now, because of this, I realize how much I love six-pack challenge matches. Because if they're on SmackDown, they're amazing.
Because regardless who's in it, they're always fun.
They're always, they really get the most out of these. Like, sometimes I think they book some of the participants to think that it's elimination or over-the-top rope elimination.
Yeah, there was a few over-the-top rope elimination attempts, it seemed like. Usually, because during a match, if you just want to toss someone out of the ring, you do it through the middle ropes.
Here's my main problem with this match, though.
Twice over the top rope.
Luke Harper is a giant ball of potential that they are just wasting. Like, and they gave him plenty of shine in this.
Yes.
But come on. We haven't seen him and Eric Rowan. Him and Eric Rowan are supposed to be like besties.
Well, they were at one point, yeah.
And they didn't have any storytelling between them in this match. That was kind of my one bugaboo, if you will.
Yeah.
The one thing that I was kind of like, come on. You could do that. You can do that here. But anyways, yeah. We got two suicide dives from Luke Harper.
There was this great spot that came when we came back from commercial during one of the at least two commercial breaks that happened during this match where all six participants were paired off on three different turnbuckles.
Yes.
And we saw two superplexes. And then Sami got out of his superplex attempt and did a sunset flip powerbomb, I believe.
To Jinder.
Oh, it was Jinder?
Yeah, it was Jinder.
There was a great spot where Eric Rowan powerbombs Dolph on everybody else on the outside of the ring.
Yeah. I like this note that you made here because I would have forgot about this. But during the match, they literally said,
"Oh, a couple times,
the winner of this match will face Randy Orton at Backlash." Randy Orton has a WWE title match against Bray Wyatt at Payback in 2 weeks. Could they be telegraphing even more that he's going
to
win this?
Not to mention the fact that a heel won this match.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's plainly obvious that Orton's going to retain the title. If it weren't already obvious.
Such a formality. Tell me where I can put money on this Randy Orton Bray Wyatt match. It probably would be one of those things where you have to wager like $2 to get 10 cents back.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things.
Yeah.
Anyways, so the finish saw, what was it, like Sami Zayn and Jinder Mahal?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Sami Zayn lined up in the corner to do his Helluva kick.
Correct.
And out from under the ring, apparently, or maybe they, I don't know where they came from. The Bollywood Boys are on SmackDown Live and they're teaming up with Jinder Mahal as heels. I'm so happy.
You marked out a lot.
I stood up in my couch and marked out. My dog freaked out and left the room. Oh my God, I think it's great. And then Jinder Mahal ended up getting the win. He got the pin. He got up, and I tell you, this is the land of opportunity because he cut a heels promo, and he looks great. And I know people out there, but he juices. According to him, he's been tested 6 times, and he's clean. So I'm going to give the man the benefit of the doubt that he is, in fact, just eating clean and exercising more than anybody else.
Yes.
I will give him the benefit of the doubt. He looks like $1 million.
Yes.
Look, this is part – he's not going to win the title. That's not going to happen.
No.
You needed somebody in his in that place, a heel, to take on Orton. Why not try to make something out of a guy who evidently has been putting in good work?
Yeah.
We don't know that he concussed Finn Balor last week. We kind of know that Finn Balor got a concussion. That could have been mistiming on Finn's part. It could have been miscommunication on both wrestlers' part.
Yes.
Evidently, the people in the back who probably know more than you or I about that match didn't find reason to punish Jinder Mahal.
Yes.
So why are people lighting him up on Twitter? Because they don't know better.
Yes.
I am totally on board with this.
Yes.
Because it gives Randy something to do. It gives Jinder Mahal, who's been putting in good work.
Yeah.
It gave him something to do. And that fucking promo was money.
It was.
It was money.
And here's the alternative would be to have, say, Baron Corbin in that match win it.
It's too early.
It's too early, and he's not going to win.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why waste his first title shot in something that seems plainly obvious he's not going to win?
I know. I know. And by all accounts, I think it was Meltzer said that he heard the WWE officials are really high on Baron Corbin. They're going to bring him along at a pace that makes sense.
Yes.
He's about to enter, or he had a really good match with AJ Styles tonight. He's doing really, really good stuff,
yeah,
but he's still learning. They're going to wait for the right time for Baron Corbin. They're not all of a sudden pushing Jinder Mahal to the moon. This is giving a guy an opportunity. Let's see what he can do. And I thought tonight he knocked it out of the park.
He did.
He knocked it out of the park during what he was given to do at WrestleMania, during his stuff with Rusev. Look, it's easy to sit there and say, oh, look, he was like the third most popular guy in the three-man band. And then they brought him back to be a jobber. Why not do the unpredictable?
Yeah.
Why not try to make another star? Why not try to make money off a guy?
I know.
You brought him back. He's been putting in good work. Let's see what he can do.
I know.
Why do you have to ascribe to your preconceived notions of, oh, this guy? People bitch about the idea that this is a play and everybody has their roles. Well, this is something that's breaking out of that mold. Why not run with it? Why not embrace it?
Agreed.
So I don't know. That's my issue with all you guys out there. And I love all the feedback. And this is wrestling.
Yes.
It's not politics. It's nothing too heavy. We can all disagree. But I personally really like it.
And no, I
that's
do too.
Why.
And that's why. And we got an episode of Count Out coming up this weekend about kind of the lack of heels on both shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Tonight we saw Jinder Mahal made into a very legitimate, credible heel.
How many heels is it? Look, Kevin Owens comes out there, and I love Kevin Owens, and I know you love Kevin Owens,
yeah,
and
yeah,
he's fantastic, and he did the Face of America thing. He's running with that. It's great. People love Kevin Owens. People do not love Jinder Mahal. He goes out there, and he cuts a heel promo. It's so rare to get that these days. It's rare to have an actual heel. Rusev goes out there, and I'm sorry, but he's entertaining.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. I would pay a ticket to go see Rusev. But he's not like a real heel.
Yeah.
Because people, I fucking cheer for Rusev.
Yeah, me too.
You know? I marked out because we saw the birth of a fucking heel tonight. And we saw the Bollywood boys, who I have notoriously ragged on for being too nice looking. I want all these guys that I rag on, I want them all to succeed. I want them all to impress me as a fan of the product, so
yes,
I will want to spend money on the product.
Yes.
And with the Bollywood boys, my thing was just they look like really nice guys, and I want them to get beat up because I think that – I know that's like a terrible JBL bully type thing, but within the context of the universe, I find it funny that a couple of nice guys who look like they should be selling insurance are getting beat up by big mean guys looking like heavy machinery, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I find that funny. Now they're aligned with Jinder Mahal. They're going to be doing heel work. Steve is entertained. If you're not, that sucks, but that's what you're getting. So I don't know. Keep an open mind. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, we have about a month of a Mahal-Orton program.
Yeah, let's see what he can do,
exactly,
man. Let's see what he can do.
Exactly. I agree 100%. Mahal gave his heel promo. We talked about that.
I like this too, because then, yeah, he gave his heel promo. I thought it was fantastic. And whoever's, I don't know, maybe it's Kevin Dunn, maybe it's somebody else. I don't know who's directing SmackDown, but I noticed they've been doing a lot of close-ups.
Yes.
Like, their presentation is altered a bit in a way that I like.
I don't notice the crane as much.
Yeah, me neither.
Either I'm getting used to it or they're not using it as much.
Yeah, it's either one, because you're right about that.
Yeah. Orton comes out, does a pretty typical Orton promo. Talks about the only prize you're going to get at Backlash is an RKO out of nowhere.
Yeah, I know. He went to the boring Randy Orton thing.
Yeah, so then Bray Wyatt shows up the Titantron. I'm really tired of these, like, these
so
Bray Wyatt
it, man.
Videos that are you know, over-edited.
Yeah.
It takes away from what he's saying so
I
much.
I know.
I can't pay attention to what he's saying because there's so much imagery flashed in front of me.
It's too much.
I'll
be completely honest with you, man. And I still firmly believe that Bray Wyatt can be put in any situation, in any main event, and he'll be legit. But they are firmly testing the limits of that premise that I have. They are so testing it because
they really are.
He doesn't have any of the Wyatt family with him. His house has been burned down. All he shows up on is the TV or is the Titantron with these heavily edited things, like you say, and then he just talks nonsense. And I know that's been Bray's thing in the past, but we've seen how a title can be put on it. We've seen for, again, 48 hours of proper booking with Bray Wyatt, where he goes over on Cena clean, he goes over on AJ clean. We've seen how it can work. And then they just took it all away from him in favor of this boring Randy stuff. I don't get what the point of this is. And then they have this formality match at Payback, which you know he's going to lose.
They really just should have had that match whenever they figured out what it was actually going to be. Just have it on SmackDown. Get it out of the way.
I know.
Just get it out of the way.
I know. It's so
bad.
Have
the U.S. title match be the main event, or Braun Reigns be the main event at Payback.
I just love when Bray said, Orton. No, did he say it or Randy Orton say it? I don't even know it. Yeah, he says, Orton said, I don't even know what a House of Horrors match is. And I said, nobody does, Orton.
We both said, I don't think anybody does.
Nobody, even them in the back, don't know what it is, baby Orton. Ha! And the thing that I loved about that most is that while that was going down, Jinder Mahal was milling about.
I know.
He was standing
the whole time
there.
I was waiting for him to
attack
Randy.
Attack him. But you know what happens if you attack Randy?
You eat RKO out of nowhere.
Yeah, you don't want to make Jinder look bad immediately. Anyways, then we got Shinsuke wasn't.
Well, here's the thing. So after this segment, they do have a little graphic saying Shinsuke Nakamura up next.
Mm-hmm.
Cut to commercial.
Ah!
I was expecting him to be there.
Yeah, man.
Instead, we got a video package.
Oh, man, we got a video package. I edited another one for you guys. What if Bray just loves editing?
Could be.
Yeah, I think it is.
Is that his editing suite that he does his videos from?
I learned my name. Yeah, exactly.
He has like
smoky.
A humidifier in there.
Yeah, no, it's like old school. It's like an old school bullpen where he's just smoking in there all day.
Oh, there you go.
I got my cigarettes, man.
He's editing on a Moviola.
Exactly. Chopping film. Would you be more impressed than if you found out that Bray Wyatt was chopping film?
I would be, because that's some serious editing.
I think it is. I know, because that's some good. It's a good job he's doing.
He'd have to get the tape out and draw on there his dissolves and whatnot.
He takes his film to the lab, and he has him like color time it properly. Yeah
that's a lot of work.
It is.
So I'd be
really
impressed. That'd explain why he hasn't been really on TV
all
for a while.
All practical editing, man. Anyways, yeah, we got a Shinsuke Nakamura video package.
I wonder when we're going to get a match with him in it. Do we have to wait till Backlash? It's another month.
I hope we get one at Backlash. You think it'd be him?
No, I mean, for sure we'll get one at Backlash, but do we have to wait till then?
Probably.
That's a bummer.
Wait a second. When is Backlash?
May 21st.
Oh, so it's not
another month.
It's not during the UK tour.
No.
Okay, good. Let's see here.
After that, we had an
AJ Styles interview. Interrupted by Baron Corbin.
Yeah. And, you know, Baron was saying something along the lines of, you more or less took my opportunity away from me last week, both you and Sami Zayn. So I want to fight you tonight, AJ said. You're on.
You're on. You
and
got it.
That gave us our main event for the evening.
Yeah. Then we had this awkward bit backstage, Charlotte backstage.
She was walking out to a gorilla position backstage.
Yeah.
And then Natalya.
The new faction.
Carmella and Tamina kind of stand in her way.
Yeah.
They move. She walks up to start a match.
Yeah. Because they were like, ooh, good luck, or some crap like that. And then Charlotte was like, I'm Charlotte. I don't really need good luck.
I know.
I'm about to carry this match and win it. And then I'll probably lose next week. Then we had Charlotte versus Naomi. This is the best match I've ever seen Naomi put on, because Charlotte was leading and carrying her the entire way. I'm totally cool with Naomi. It's just she's not nearly in Charlotte's league. And Charlotte was carrying this match. You could literally see her, like, calling the spots and like going through the rounds with Naomi. You could see it all happen. But it was a decent match.
Yeah. Like, they gave him a lot of time.
They totally did. And here's the good thing about it is that Charlotte's presence on SmackDown is going to make the other women in that division better wrestlers.
Yes.
We're going to get better matches because of her being there.
Yes.
So, I mean, it wasn't like smooth sailing the entire way. Naomi, there were parts where Naomi really couldn't keep up with Charlotte. But Charlotte did her best to adjust her pace to what Naomi could keep up with. So it was good. Charlotte ended up going over clean with a natural selection.
Yep.
And so she's now number one contender. I get the feeling.
They're going to have that match next week.
They're going to have that match next week on SmackDown. She's going to lose.
I have a feeling this new faction might cost her the win.
I think you're right about that. I think we're going to see. It's kind of obvious we're going to see a Charlotte
face turn?
It's got to be face turn, right? Yeah, it has to be. I mean, here's the thing. There's no reason to put the title on Charlotte at this point.
No.
So we had that question on yesterday's episode when somebody asked, who's going to get the title first on their respective brands, Alexa Bliss or Charlotte?
Yeah.
I'm really starting to think it's Alexa Bliss. I'm starting to think that.
I'll stick with Charlotte.
Okay.
Because I just feel like there's more people in front of Alexa in line.
Really?
I think so. Like Sasha and Nia Jax.
You think so? I could agree with you on Nia Jax. Not there on Sasha. Because she had the title a lot.
I know.
A lot already.
But she didn't ever have it for very long.
Well, that's true. But, yeah, I don't know. I get the feeling Charlotte is like...
Because here's the thing.
Charlotte is a walking championship. So they don't need to put the title on
it. I understand that. But here, Alexa's already getting her shot at the belt at Payback. What are the odds that she wins that match? 5%?
I don't know, man. I could see them doing something. She wins. Bayley enters into a thing with Sasha without the title up on stakes because they don't need the title to fight over things.
The only thing Sasha wants is that belt, though. She's made that pretty plainly obvious.
Yeah, maybe.
The belt needs to be involved.
Maybe. Yeah, you're probably right. I still think Alexa gets it before Charlotte. Let's see here. Then we had... Oh, yeah. Then Charlotte, fresh off her victory.
Again, backstage.
Passes by the new... Does this new faction have a name?
No, they just formed.
Yeah, what's their name, though? They all kind of have a nerd vibe to them. Say like the nerd herd.
You can call it
that. The goobers. The West Side Stories.
Sure.
Hey, man.
But anyways, Charlotte walks past them.
The assholes.
And then,
that's the new faction name.
And then you hear...
Charlotte walks by the assholes.
From a distance. Woo!
She walks by the assholes, and then she does her dad's woo thing. They really need to figure out if they're going to call her Charlotte or Charlotte Flair.
Oh, it says Charlotte Flair on her lower third.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it did. Tonight it did.
When it said she won, it just said Charlotte.
Well, when she came out, it said Charlotte Flair.
Which is why I'm saying they need to get on the same page with it.
I'm pretty sure that they more often than not refer to her as Charlotte Flair.
Well, then why wouldn't her winner Charlotte Flair thing
come like
up?
In 2K17, you have your full name
and then
your abbreviated name.
They never show your abbreviated name on the lower third.
So if there's room on the lower third for the full name, they put that. If not, it's the abbreviated name.
I would prefer for them to use all the space they can, so it'd be like Charlotte Flip.
Okay.
A couple letters. At least then I know they're trying.
Okay.
Yeah, sort of play.
Okay.
Oh, man. No, know what I did? This is a small thing. I love this, though. Tom Phillips at one point referred to Charlotte Flair as simply Flair. He said something like, Naomi goes for the pin on Flair, doesn't get it, something like that. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
No, I like that they seemingly want to be all in on Charlotte Flair. It's just I noticed when she won, it just said Charlotte. I was like, where's her last name? It really bugged me. I want to see Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair. Then we had American Alpha Team versus the Colognes.
Primo and Epico. They are no longer the Shining Stars, despite what their tights
say. Hold on. It said on the butt of their tights.
But we got a picture on Twitter of their Titantron.
We did.
And it said the Colognes.
Just said the Colognes. Did not say Shining Stars.
The music was different.
They did not pass out literature about some resort.
Yes.
Yeah. Kayfabe, what happened to that resort? Carlito's running it now.
There you go.
Carlito.
There you go.
Yeah. I like this. This was good because Primo and Epico won. They need it. Look, man, they're not going to start off their feud with a blow off match. You know, they got a very clever win. American Alpha. I hope maybe this will become American Alpha's story. They get beat by superior tag team wrestling.
I don't know. Wait, because they're one of the best tag teams. They're probably the best. In terms of natural talents, the best tag team on SmackDown.
Okay.
Why does that make sense?
How did they get beat by the Usos? Their combo wrestling, what they did to win the match, got them over. They were outsmarted. And yeah, you can call them maybe heel tactics, but it wasn't like they took a sledgehammer to the head.
Yeah, no, but then I guess instead of saying superior tag team wrestling, say make it more of a strategic thing versus, physical talents.
Well, tag team wrestling, they seem to have this thing. They seem to have this thing where they get out strategized, and that's fine. But strategy is a huge part of successful tag team wrestling.
It is. I agree.
And I like that. I like that maybe this can be the one thing they have to overcome, because they lost in the same manner to the Shining Stars.
They've lost before, yeah.
As they've lost before. And I hope they integrate that into their thing.
And it would be nice.
They need to work better on their tag team defense.
And they can go back to the fact that they are relatively new as a tag team. They've only been together for a couple of years.
Yeah, I know, but they need to step it up.
I know, make that part of the story, I'm saying.
Yeah.
Is that's their story arc. You know, they are obviously physically immensely talented, but sometimes, in terms of the strategy, they're not as savvy as some of the other veteran teams they may face.
They keep on getting taken advantage of, and the bottom line is that's how they lose.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to call those wins or call those losses back and, you know, change the score.
Yeah.
You lost.
Yeah.
But anyways, I like this because, it gives them something to do. It's a feud. Maybe it'll make something out of Primo and Epico. Look, man, if a wrestler was a doormat for a couple of years, give him a win, give him a feud, see what you can do with him.
Give him an opportunity, see if they can run with it.
Exactly. And I still think Primo and Epico, like, get them on the mic.
Yeah, they're funny.
Get a couple of these guys. They're good. Get American Alpha on the mic.
Yeah.
Man, killing me with this stuff.
You've said before that you want to see SmackDown start adding a third hour. And for the most part, talking smack is the third hour of the show, and it gives talents an opportunity to
climb on the mic. Yeah, we've seen feuds develop on talking smack.
Yeah. But if there's any case be made for adding a third hour to SmackDown, is giving people more time on the microphone.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. And especially with, like, the New Day showing up. Look, here's the thing. The Superstar Shakeup bolstered the tag team division.
Oh, immensely.
Bolstered the women's division.
Immensely.
And bolstered the men's division.
Yeah.
There really just isn't, like, a men's mid-card, but there really never was much one of...
I would say there is. I mean, you have Ty.
Yeah.
You have Rusev now.
Well,
when he's back.
When he's back.
Once Jinder
loses. I mean, I guess we saw a whole... You're right. We saw an entire six-pack challenge of a mid-card.
Yeah, that's the mid-card.
You're right. Okay, that's fine. So you're just more proving my point here. We have a massive mid-card now, and we have a massive main event scene. If that... Like, all you've done is add to SmackDown.
I know.
So, like, you know, doesn't that mean you should add more time to tell story? Because, like, something's going to give, man.
Oh, I know. But it could be, you know, then you're talking TV contracts. We don't know how that's going to all work out.
Oh, yeah.
As far as adding a third hour.
I'm not saying they can do
it. I mean, that means your favorite show, which follows SmackDown, gets pushed an hour.
Yeah.
You have to wait an extra hour to watch Crizzly.
Oh, Crizzly? Not my favorite. Your favorite show, man. Don't think I didn't notice. Whenever Crizzly's on the screen, you are tickled.
No, I'm not. I'm generally annoyed.
No, you're not. You crack up every time.
Not every time.
More than not. That's true. When that lady took out in the art class, she took off her gown.
Oh, his look on his face.
Look. You're trying not to be. You're trying not to be tickled.
You're making me laugh.
Grizzly was so, what did you say? It was like embarrassed and intrigued at the same.
Embarrassed and gleeful. And you said it was cheeky.
It was cheeky. Grizzly's cheeky. I love Grizzly. This was terrible.
Oh, the Ty Dillinger thing?
I mentioned this off camera. What did I say when I saw Ty Dillinger introduce his own video package?
I don't remember.
I said, why is it they're using the Drifter better on Raw than they're using Ty Dillinger on SmackDown? I did not see that coming. I never would have predicted that they would use the Drifter better on Raw than Ty Dillinger on SmackDown. Why wasn't he part of that six-pack challenge?
Maybe they just thought he was too new to SmackDown. He's more over than pretty much everybody except Sammy.
So this interview... It was interview.
No,
bot.
It wasn't really an interview. They
technically it was.
The interview bot asked Ty one.
She
question.
Asked a question.
He threw to a video package.
He did.
And then he came back and said, "That's why I'm the perfect 10."
It was so bad.
It wasn't good.
It was so bad, dude.
Ty tried. He tried to make something of it.
You can't do anything with
it's
this.
It's a terrible premise.
You can't do anything. I'm not blaming Ty.
He's charming.
Well, I don't know why they're rooting for me. But I have this over here. I thought the camera was going to pan and we were going to see something cool.
I thought he was going to have a bunch of 10 cards. Something.
I was thinking gun, but maybe not. I don't know.
It doesn't really fit his character.
It doesn't. Oh, man. Then we had the Kevin Owens Giant Face of America Open Challenge.
Yeah, he's got some new graphics for his entrance.
They're pretty great.
And the whole ramp is his face. The Titantron is his face. It's pretty cool.
God, that's great.
It's a great touch.
That's fantastic. You know, he's cracking up the entire time, too.
I know.
Like, they did that.
So he walks. His opponent's already in the ring. He walks out. As the ring announcer starts to announce the participants in this match, yeah. He grabs the mic and says, I'm better at your job than you are.
Yeah.
Tells the ring announcer to go away.
He
announces himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, my opponent, he goes up to him with the mic and says, tell me your name. And he says,
Gary Gandy.
From Louisville, Kentucky.
Well, hold on a second. He says, Gary Gandy. And as Kevin Owens starts to walk away, he grabs his wrist, brings the mic back over and says, from Louisville, Kentucky. Crowd pops.
Yeah.
Gary Gandy has like an awkward fat belly. He looks like a dude who just doesn't suck in.
Could be.
He looked like he was pushing out a little bit. Maybe for comedic effect. Anyways, that pisses off Kevin Owens royally.
Not much of a match.
No. He lays into him. Squash match. Kevin Owens wins with a pop-up powerbomb. The Face of America then declares that he will be sitting at commentary for tonight's main event, which is AJ Styles versus Baron Corbin.
Yes. How long do you think they're going to do this Face of America Open Challenge until there's a real competitor in the ring opposite?
Well, the bigger question is who will be the real competitor?
Well, I mean, are we going to see any real competition between now and Backlash?
I would say no. I'd say 4 weeks, like however many mm-hmm. SmackDowns are.
About four.
And then at Backlash is his match against AJ, is mm-hmm. that right? Okay. Or, I mean, maybe if they start getting into the AJ KO thing next week, now that Baron has sort of been dispatched.
Kind of. It was a
count. It was kind of. Yeah, okay, let's run down that.
Yeah, yeah.
Good match, fun match.
Yeah.
Baron's really picking up steam. They went outside. Baron tried to do, like, what, a back body drop or some shit?
Well, AJ was teasing, after the match went on for about 15 minutes, teasing a Styles Clash.
Mm-hmm.
Corbin.
While staring at Kevin Owens.
Yeah, Corbin back body dropped AJ into Owens,
mm-hmm.
knocking Owens over. And then
AJ gave a, was kind of like
he ran off the apron, gave a phenomenal forearm
right.
to Baron.
Corbin, yeah.
He went over the barricade.
Uh-huh.
AJ got back in the ring to beat the 10 count.
Just to beat the 10 count. Yeah.
And he won by count out.
Yeah. So it was good. Baron didn't need a pin. Didn't have to submit. That was good.
Yeah.
And then Kevin Owens was peeved about that. So maybe
seething.
Seething. So is there any chance Baron Corbin somehow lands into the Backlash match as a triple threat? He's not doing anything else unless he gets involved in something next week.
Doubtful.
Doubtful? Maybe we'll find out next week.
I think it'd be more likely that he would interfere in some respect.
Oh, that could be too.
To prevent a clean finish. And then after that, because I'm guessing they want to get, you know, some mileage out of this Owens
feud. Absolutely. Yeah, that makes sense.
Because what, it's another 3 months after Backlash before SummerSlam. So it could go all the way through there.
Well, what's the next pay-per-view after Backlash?
I don't know. Oh, Money in the Bank.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So AJ
okay.
could be in that.
Oh, yeah, something can happen there. Oh, yeah, he could do that. Let's see here. Oh, let's ask some questions. That was all SmackDown.
An okay show.
Yeah. I'm going to get a lot of shit for all that gender talk that I was doing, man. People were pissed. And people are hot about that gender stuff. It's just pro wrestling, though.
I know.
It's just pro wrestling.
I know.
I'd
it
be
is.
Pissed about it.
Be happy for someone who gets an opportunity.
Exactly. What the heck? Let's see here.
Retired Dwayne Nix. Can't confirm it, but I heard there's a possibility we get AJ versus Shinsuke at WrestleMania 34 as one of the main events. Do you think the WWE brass is really that smart to actually make the match we all want to see? Yes. I feel like that's hopefully the direction we're going in.
Absolutely. He's going to puke, says, with Jinder winning number one contender. Do you guys think this feud will at least be decent or terrible? I see some things good in it, but I just wish Jinder being heel had nothing to do with bashing America. I wish he could just be like other heels like Owens or Corbin. I'm personally tired of the whole America sucks heel thing.
Well, that's what Owens is doing right now, too.
That's actually a good point. I know, but he's like, he's putting a twist on it.
No, I know.
He's putting a creative twist on it.
He is.
I kind of see this point only because we've seen it kind of recently with other wrestlers.
I know. That's
like Rusev is an obvious one.
I agree with that.
And it's not that it is America's side. It's like we've just seen it the same thing kind of over and over again.
Yeah.
I really like the passion that he brought to it. Mm-hmm. I like that the promo was what's the word I'm looking for?
He was convincing.
He was convincing, and he was pointed.
Yes.
He was to the point. And so I like that. I like that about it. Like, if I had to choose any of the America Sucks heel promos, this was probably the strongest one I've heard. I mean, Kevin Owens putting a very creative twist on it, being
yes.
the face of America.
Yes.
Rusev is Rusev. But even Rusev is aimless when he does it. It's just America Sucks because America sucks.
I know.
But he's also funny, so I'm cool with it.
Yeah. Triple H finds it funny.
I find it funny.
Hey, friendos, my question today is, do you think AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins would be fit to main event WrestleMania? Would you make it for a title, and what brand would the feud be on? He'd personally make it cross brand, like HBK versus Kurt Angle.
I agree with that completely.
Yes.
Yes, and I think that would absolutely be a show stealer at WrestleMania.
Oh yeah.
Assuming Seth Rollins isn't favoring a knee.
Yes.
Let's see here. Wrecking Your Wife champion Larson and Steve. Who is it that said wreck your wife? Oh, that was Adam Cole.
Oh, really?
To Christopher Daniels, yeah. People always talk about looking forward to indie wrestlers coming to WWE. Are there any wrestlers that you hope don't ever sign because they wouldn't be right there? Joshua Martinez says the Young Bucks.
That's what I was going to say, Young Bucks. They would really have to scale back what they do.
Well, they couldn't do any Meltzer drivers. Here's the thing about that. This is why I disagree with you. Because I think that they have been around long enough, they could still put on a compelling match.
Oh, they'd still be fun.
Without their shtick.
But they're not going to do the stuff they do in PWG.
No, you can always look at those tapes. You can always look at those DVDs and then let them get their WrestleMania.
I want to see that on the large stage. I want to see those type of matches at WrestleMania.
Well, that's something you're never going to see.
I know.
Yeah. But
I
still
know.
Let them sign. You don't want them to sign? Let them sign.
I wouldn't prevent them from signing.
Oh.
Sign if they want to.
I kind of get the feeling you want to prevent them.
I'm not going to prevent anybody from signing.
Injunction.
With the WWE.
You know my answer to this question.
I have the power.
You know my answer to this question.
Do I?
Yeah.
Who?
The Briscoes.
Oh, yeah.
They could. They couldn't be them. They are so flipping good, man. They're so good. I just don't think that they're too intense. Their characters are too much, man. They're too intense. I would not prevent them from signing, though. Not like you would with the Young Bucks.
I'm not going to prevent anybody from signing a contract with WWE.
The elite. The elite.
Scott Steiner's favorite bastard, Jacob Barnes.
Bastard!
How do you guys book the championships on SmackDown? Seemingly, the U.S. title is more has more prestigious company. How would you guys let the WWE title get the title? WWE title. Sorry, I can't talk today. How would you guys get the WWE title back to prominence over the U.S. belt?
Get it off Randy Orton. Put it on Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yep.
Have him fight AJ Styles for it.
Yep.
That's the easiest math I've ever heard of, man.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's see here. Hamza Hilal. Why do you think they haven't had Shinsuke wrestle on TV yet? Are they trying to make his in-ring debut big and important by not having him wrestle for a bit? Probably. Maybe to give him some rest time? I have no idea. Tour coming up, yeah. No speculation on your part?
I assume it's just because they want his debut match to be a major event.
I would. That's sort of like the...
But then if that's the case, why are they alluding to a feud with Dolph? It's not really a major opponent.
Yeah, but you know what? Dolph can make...
It'll be a good match. I know. Yeah. I know. Dolph will sell for him. They'll put on a good match.
Yeah, I know. No, I'm lukewarm on it too, man. Because you know why? Because Dolph sells cartoonishly.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't sell stiff. He sells like Shawn Michaels, Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he sells like.
Mm-hmm. He oversells at moments.
Not huge on that.
Like if Shinsuke's first match was against John Cena, that'd be huge.
Yeah, I just spat everywhere.
Yeah.
Empire Filth Ambassador Jason the Cabbie. Love Jason. Jason, where are your video questions, man? Let's get more of those. He says, how great is it that the main titles on both shows really don't mean anything anymore? I feel like he wrote this out of just pure frustration. This isn't really a question because it's not great.
Although he did put a question mark at the end of it.
I feel like it was just he's on the job right now.
Yeah.
He's probably got like a late shift.
Yeah.
He's using up all his data watching SmackDown on his phone.
Could be.
And then he gets right on the Patreon. You want a question thread? I got a question for you. How great is it that the main titles on both shows really die? I'm off duty now. I'm off duty. I swear, man, we're gonna hear about Jason one day. Let's see here.
Lachlan Sherrick.
I love the name Lachlan.
Hey, friendos, how do you feel about SmackDown positioning the United States Championship stronger than the WWE Championship belt? Are they removing the idea of a secondary belt and placing both on equal footing going forward? Or is the World Championship still the main title on SmackDown? I mean, storyline-wise, they're treating the U.S. title as...
Yeah. I'm going to...
The more competitive belt.
I'm going to hold...
title scene.
I'm going to hold... I'm going to... What do you call it? I'm going to push for now.
Yes.
Because I think that pieces have to fall into place.
Yes. Agreed.
It is abnormal that Mojo Rawley was in a six-pack challenge for the WWE title. It is abnormal that Jinder Mahal won. However, I'm willing to roll with it. You have to give it time. This shakeup was probably Vince on the last day saying, and so let's just give it some time to breathe a little bit. Yes, right now, Kevin Owens is the man. He is the top champion on the SmackDown show.
Yes.
That is absolutely
true.
Without
question.
Randy already looks bored, by the way.
Yes, he does.
I wonder if Randy was even disappointed with how those last couple weeks were booked.
I mean, yeah, I was going to say, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, or 2 or 3 weeks before Mania.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like he felt the whole burning down the compound was the apex of what he was going to do. And then it was just all downhill from there. Once that was over, he just seemed bored.
Yeah, yeah. Samuel O. First off, Steve, I apologize for yelling at you on Twitter. He sent a video on Twitter. I did not listen to it. So no apology necessary. He says, I cannot be the only one who's not happy about Jinder going over much more talented wrestlers. Why do you think Jinder was picked when there's a wealth of talent? Number one, it's okay. You can yell at me. Totally fine with it. I love Samuel O. I love his dog. Heel wife behind the camera. All good. This is all just wrestling. I got heated earlier when I was... talking about how much I love Jinder.
You were.
And it was fine because it's wrestling. And you know what? We don't have a beer unless you're sober, in which case you have a Diet Coke with me.
Yes.
So Samuel O, don't apologize. Number two, I think he was probably, I mean, it's a valid question. Why do you think they went with Jinder as opposed to somebody else?
Because I think I brought up the Baron Corbin example. Mm-hmm. They didn't want Baron Corbin to win that match and have to lose to Randy.
There wasn't a stronger heel in the thing. And I still think that it's valid that, you know what? He looks great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to assume he's on steroids. I'm not going to assume the fact. I still feel that the fact that he did win means that they don't find him at fault for the Finn Balor thing.
Odd timing happens. I would think they would probably appreciate the fact that accidents happen.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, despite the fact that it's a choreographed sporting event,
mm-hmm.
there's still real physical contact. People do get hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
It happens sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, like Finn Balor's previous injury against Seth Rollins, just a freak thing that happened.
Yeah, exactly.
No one was at fault.
Yeah.
Just Finn's elbow got pinned between him and the barricade mm-hmm. and it popped his shoulder out.
Yeah.
It was just a weird freak thing.
But I think it just, you needed, we were wondering who is the heel that's going to take on Randy Orton. And we read Sports Kita, I think, earlier today.
They had a report earlier today that said that Jinder was going to win.
And we both kind of laughed it off. We said, oh, that's weird. That was both our reaction. I felt the execution tonight was so good that I marked out and I'm buying in.
Yeah, me too.
What else am I going to do? I got to watch this stuff. It's my job.
Yes.
let's see here. I like this question. La Sombrero. What do you guys think of having a New Japan style WrestleMania, having a night one for SmackDown and a night two for Raw? Oh, so breaking it up overnight.
It's too much wrestling.
Yeah, it is.
And it would extend WrestleMania weekend an extra day. They'd have to do, assuming it'd be Saturday and Sunday for the 2-day WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Then Friday would be NXT.
Yeah.
Thursday would be the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I actually wouldn't. So Meltzer actually suggested this as an option. But said that it probably wouldn't.
But here's the thing: they wouldn't do 2 3-hour shows. They would do 2 4-hour shows minimum.
Yeah, probably.
Instead of doing one long 7-hour show.
Yeah. No, I know.
So it'd still be two pretty long days as opposed to one really long day.
Yeah, but man, by the end, you're. I don't know. Do I see them doing it? Probably not. I mean, just. You know, I think they're happy with the one day, but also I kind of wouldn't put it past them to do it. Like, I wouldn't be, oh my God, they did that. I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'd have to shuffle some things around. They'd just have the Hall of Fame same as NXT.
It's usually the same venue, so they couldn't do that.
They just have the Hall of Fame at noon. Get everybody out of there. NXT at 4. You're good.
No, it doesn't work that way, man.
Sure.
No.
Magnum TA champion Nathan Ragland, what secret criminal lives do you think WWE superstars have? Wow, Nathan, that is a dark question. He said, I'm not even going to read this, man. Wow. What secret criminal lives do you think WWE wrestlers have? I think Mojo is like one of those pickpocketers. He goes, finds a touristy area. He walks up, somebody bumps into them, takes their wallet, and says, yo, I just took your wallet! That was hype! And he gives it back to them. That's all I got, man. I got nothing.
Maybe Eric Rowan is a jaywalker.
He does tend to lumber, doesn't he? He lumbers about.
Yeah. With that mask on, it might be tough to see where the crosswalk's at.
Jinder Mahal is a loiterer. Because he was loitering while Randy Orton was doing his Bray Wyatt promo. Loitering is just the illegal version of milling about. Think about it. Loitering. Anyways.
Jefferson. Going back to the Jinder Mahal issue. What a shame.
What a shame. All in caps, Jefferson.
They keep giving away the ending of Payback. Saying Jinder will fight Orton at Backlash. Is it just me or has all continuity gone out the fucking window since Mania? No story has a shred of logic. Is this Vince vetoing well-established stories at the last moment and why? This is so confusing and hard to follow now. I need charts or graphs or a board with strings. By all accounts, Bray getting moved to Raw is a last-minute thing, and that's why this whole House of Horrors match is a mess.
Yeah.
And really, once they decide that, I understand they want to have a world title match at Payback to main event it. So what?
Mm-hmm.
This is just way too convoluted. They should just granted, once they actually decided what the House of Horrors match was going to be, just have it on SmackDown. Yeah. Make a huge event of it.
Yeah.
And then just get on with it.
Yeah.
Have Reigns, Strowman main event, Payback. That's fine.
His point of giving away the ending of Payback, I mean, they literally said,
I know, who will face Randy Orton at Backlash? I know.
And that is an incredibly valid point.
I know, because when I heard it, I about jumped out of my chair.
Yeah, I know.
I was like, why are they saying that?
I know. I still say, though, look, here's the thing. Creative is doing what they can with what they've been given by Vince in terms of the superstar shakeup. And we saw something similar post-draft last year, where the Wyatts and the New Day all of a sudden had to stop their shit. And I think there were a couple more examples of that. I don't know. All I got to say, you gotta go with it, man. This is just one of those awkward moments when they have to get the match out of the way.
It was like when the brand split happened right in the middle of a pretty good New Day Wyatt family feud.
I literally just said that. You were so not paying attention.
Sorry, I was reading questions. I was trying to find the next question.
Literally said those words. Did you find next question? Oh my God, he hasn't even found next question yet. What's going on here?
Paul Iannotta, does anybody else find themselves rooting for SmackDown and against Raw for some reason?
Well, hey, look, man. You root for who you root for. You root for who you want to win, and that's okay. You can do that. I personally don't. It's funny you say that. I thought the level of talent on Raw in terms of like big top level talent on Raw was superior before the shakeup. I have a hard time. Like if I really like everything on SmackDown right now, I really do.
More often than not. Yeah.
Yeah. On Raw, there isn't a whole lot for me to give a shit about.
This is what I root for. Decent storylines and quality wrestling.
You get quality wrestling out of quality wrestlers, and most of them are on SmackDown now. That's not all I root for, man. I root for weird shit, too. I root for the Bollywood boys. Can't say they're not paragons of quality wrestling or good storylines. I have my weird shit that I root for. They just, now they're on SmackDown Live. Although the Drifter, I guess the Drifter's on Raw.
Yeah.
I root for the Drifter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, what guilty, those are guilty pleasures in wrestling. What are some of your guilty pleasures in wrestling? Give me something dumb you root for, man. Come on.
Fashion Police.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's all I ask for.
I'm a huge fan of Chet Cheddarfield and The Banker.
Oh, why wouldn't you be? They're amazing.
I know.
Fantastic. And it's not The Banker. It's just Banker.
Are you sure?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it's The Banker.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
Maybe it's The Banker. It's funnier when it's just a banker.
It is.
I like this question here. Xander McIntosh. Larson.
Yeah.
That's you.
Yeah.
With SAAK fired from WGPW, will we be seeing a new masked wrestler on Fun Wrestling named SAOK, who is a motivational speaker setting out to end gang violence?
Stay tuned.
See, I offered you SAAK.
I said stay tuned.
That's a great idea.
Continue.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm looking for other questions. Well, this is a good question. Shibata's punching bag, Badmon Joseph. He says, do you think WWE and Kenny Omega waiting on coming together was a mistake? He says, I really feel like he should have capitalized on his stardom after Wrestle Kingdom 11. I feel like his star will be just as...
The banker.
Oh, you win. I feel like Omega's star will be just as bright once they get to his rematch with Okada.
But I don't know. After that match at Wrestle Kingdom, it's going to be hard to follow that match.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, you know, he came back to some fanfare, but not huge.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had a really good match with Ishii. Mm-hmm. He's been involved in some really fun tag matches.
Mm-hmm.
But he really hasn't been in a program to really elevate his stock, I would say. Apart from that match with Ishii during the New Japan Cup and his first in the two Honor Rising shows,
mm-hmm.
he hadn't really main evented anything.
Yeah. Well,
it seemed like either New Japan's biding their time with him. I mean, if this were WWE, I'd say they don't know what to do with him, but I know New Japan books well in advance.
Mm-hmm. Hey, they're human, man.
Oh, I know.
Don't put it past them.
So it's going to be hard for his stock to ever be as high as it was.
Yeah.
Ever. But he must have thought, okay, you know, and he said as much that there's still things he wanted to do in New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he said, and I'm probably speculating way too much here. He said in, I think it was a Q&A from England, that, you know, one of the things he really wanted to do was have a match against AJ Styles at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And maybe if he went up to him and said, can we make this happen? I know it's a really small window, can make this happen. There he said, no, he's wrestling Shane this year. He's like, I'll wait. I don't want to go through the grind of the WWE schedule to wait another year to do that at WrestleMania. I'll wrestle a lighter schedule in New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Do what I can to keep my stock as high as I can.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's Kenny Omega. I mean, he's still going to be a hot free agent whenever his contract is up.
Yeah, no, I know.
And then once my contract's up in February, then I can consider my options. And if it seems like WWE is a decent option, cool. If this worldwide expansion for New Japan seemed like a better option for Kenny Omega, he'll probably do that.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't really need to go to WWE.
No, I know.
He doesn't at all.
Yeah. I think here's my thing. I think we're kind of thrown off by the New Japan schedule. They don't have a weekly Raw or weekly mm-hmm. SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we get their, what, monthly pay-per-views?
More or less.
You know, there isn't really time to stay up in the spotlight when you have guys that they want to push like Shibata, whose career might be over at this point.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they brought Suzuki-gun in to sort of, you know, supplant kind of Bullet Club they reorganize.
Yeah, to kind of, for at least a little bit, make them top heel faction.
But my thing is this. You're right. I mean, topping Wrestle Kingdom 11 probably be difficult. But I think his star can be turned on just like that with another Okada match, maybe with the Ishii match coming up. I mean, they have so much talent over there mm-hmm. that, yeah, it's hard to be the top guy. But I think, you know, one good match, and boom, he's back on top again, and his stock is higher than it was before. I mean, especially if he wins the title in Long Beach. Here's the, kind of the thing also is that we're kind of in like a calm before the storm. We have no idea what the plans are. I mean, we have kind of an idea,
yeah,
but we don't really know what the matches are going to be for Long Beach or if they're really going to treat that. Because originally we thought, oh, I wonder who they're going to send over here. But by all accounts, it sounds like there is the possibility we're going to get the Wrestle Kingdom rematch in Long Beach.
It's entirely possible.
So we're kind of in this calm before the storm where we don't really know how things are going to shake out.
Yeah, well, I guess you could assume that the wrestlers they use for the promotional material for the Long Beach shows are going to mm-hmm. be involved. So that's Omega, Tanahashi, Okada, and Naito.
Yeah.
Naito is going to be on the Ring of Honor mm-hmm. New Japan tour in May.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully he'll still be doing G1 shows here. But you got to assume they're promoting those shows with those four wrestlers, at, you know, prominently. So you got to hope at least those four wrestlers will be here for those shows.
Yeah.
And I guess there's, you know, are they going to treat those shows as a showcase for New Japan's talents? Or are they going to treat them as huge shows, you know, and put on, you know, like Sakura Genesis level cards?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's the real question.
No, I know. But it sounds like they're.
If they're trying to make a huge impact with these are the first shows they've, from what I understand, the first New Japan shows ever in the States that are just their own. That's my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think all the other stuff is co-promoted by other organizations.
And, dude, if it's true and we're going to get the Wrestle Kingdom rematch, then I would think the latter of your situations there is true, that this is going to be a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
We might see a major title change, maybe two. Naito might drop it to Tanahashi. That being said, I'm with you in that you go with the sure thing. His stock was huge. You should have pulled the trigger on it and given him whatever he wanted. Which might have just been AJ Styles. It might have been, apparently he really wants to work with Kota Ibushi at WrestleMania. So I'm not sure exactly.
No, he wanted to work with Kota in New Japan.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but no, Kota wouldn't have signed. He said he didn't sign with WWE because he wanted to work with Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My understanding, it was in New Japan.
Yeah, but if Kenny was in WWE, Kota probably would have signed in WWE.
Oh, yeah, probably.
So they could work together. So I think my thing is actually kind of this. The way he works, and especially with how old AJ Styles is, you never know when the AJ Styles window is going to shut. You don't know when the Kenny Omega window is going to shut. Evidently, the Shibata window might be shut.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just like, do you want to risk those windows closing? Now, here's the thing. I don't think WWE really cares because, I mean, I think they care to a degree. But they also understand that if you bring in Kenny Omega at the Royal Rumble, Kenny Omega doesn't have the name that AJ Styles did.
I know.
A year ago.
But a certain segment of the audience, if Kenny Omega is in the Rumble, they're going to expect him to win because they want him to go straight to the top of the card.
Oh, no, I agree. I'm saying even if you bring him in the day after the Rumble, you only have 3 months to build with AJ Styles.
Yeah.
You have to introduce him to an audience that I would say 80% of the people don't know who he is. And so how much money are you really putting on the line? You want to bring this guy in like the day after WrestleMania and then build him out for a year like they did with AJ Styles, although that was at the Rumble. But look, what did he fight? He fought Jericho at Mania. So it wasn't like a main event thing.
And lost.
And so, a lot of people knew who AJ Styles were. Less people will know who Kenny Omega is
because
he wasn't in TNA.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think for guys like us who know who he is and know what he can do, you know, that's what we desperately want to see. For the WWE as a business, they know what's going to draw them money. And if they thought it was worth it. But I totally get that they have 3 months to build a guy nobody's ever heard of. Look at how long they've taken with Shinsuke.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, he was in NXT
for a year. And now they haven't even, you know, he's been on SmackDown for a couple of weeks, hasn't given his first match yet. Today they did another video promo explaining to people who he is. They're really taking their time building him. They didn't just rush him into WrestleMania.
Yeah.
The same thing is going to happen with Kenny Omega. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to build him up over time.
Yeah.
So.
All right, you ready for trivia?
Yeah, let's get trivia done. Today we're going over Modern Era and Attitude Era.
Yeah. Do you want to start or should I?
You start.
With Modern Era.
Okay.
What was the name of the so-called diva who looked like a certain male superstar that won the Miss WrestleMania title at WrestleMania 25?
I know it was Santino Marella.
I need a name.
Yeah, I know. Shut up. Santina Marella.
Correct.
Yeah, baby.
Well, it says Santina, no Marella, but I'll give it to you.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, this is, what are we doing, Modern first?
Yeah, Modern Era.
Modern Era. What boxer defeated Will?
Floyd Mayweather.
Very good. Put a finger up.
What Intercontinental Champion teamed with Women's Champion Mickey James in an intergender tag match for both titles at SummerSlam 2008?
Teamed with Mickey James. I'll say Johnny Mundo.
Kofi Kingston.
Oh, okay. Didn't know that. Who defeated The Miz for the United States Championship at Night of Champions 2010, becoming the first former NXT rookie to win a title?
Daniel Bryan.
Very good.
What WWE superstar served as a bodyguard for Alberto Del Rio before finding his dancing groove as the Funkasaurus?
Brodus Clay.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I wanted to say Tyrus. What future WWE Divas champion was the winner of NXT Season 3?
No year, huh?
No, NXT Season 3.
Caitlin.
Very good. She had those little short arms.
That was a guess. What former UFC champion refereed the WrestleMania 13 match between Stone Cold and Bret Hart?
Ken Shamrock.
Yeah.
What superstar guaranteed himself a job for 1 year by winning the Immunity Battle Royal at Survivor Series 2001?
Wow.
Guaranteed. Oh, I'm sorry. This is Attitude Era now.
Yeah, yeah.
What superstar guaranteed himself a job for 1 year by winning the Immunity Battle Royal? Is that like the Ulysses Battle Royal? Survivor Series 2001.
Al Snow.
Test.
Oh. Who defeated Kane at No Mercy 2002 to unify the World Heavyweight and Intercontinental Champions?
No Mercy. To unify the World Heavyweight, the Big Gold Belt and the IC title?
Yes.
Who defeated Kane at what year?
2002.
Rey Mysterio?
Triple H.
Of course. I find it funny that I win all the time. What was the name of the pairing of The Undertaker and Big Show, which won the World Tag Team Championship twice in 1999?
Well.
Undershow.
I wish. I would not have got this. The Unholy Alliance.
Okay. Before they became the world's greatest tag team, what name did Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin go by?
Team Angle.
Yes.
You told me that earlier today.
Yes.
Thank you for that one.
Put up a finger.
Yeah.
Do I have one more? Is that it?
You have one more.
Oh, cool. I can tie.
You can tie. What light heavyweight champion gave Lita a championship match on the condition she go on a date with him if she lost?
Matt Hardy.
That's pretty good. No, Dean Malenko.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't remember.
You get a card.
I get card. What am I going to get, Larson?
What is it? What is it going to be?
I got Game.
Oh, let me see that.
Game.
It's actually pretty neat.
No, it's not. I mean, it's very thick. Who's he? Oh, he looks like he's...
Is he choke slamming somebody?
Kurt Angle, I think. Pretty sure that's Kurt. Stone Cold is taking a nap right there while Kane is choke slamming Kurt Angle. You suck. Nap time. Anyways, good job. Well done.
Yeah, good job, you.
All right, good job on me. Anyways, that's it for Going in Raw. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.